I read in the papers about the Freedom Train. I heard on the radio about the Freedom Train. I seen folks talking about the Freedom Train. Lord, I've been a-waiting for that Freedom Train.
Destination Freedom. The Chicago Defender and station WMAQ bring you Destination Freedom, dramatizing the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, interwoven in the pageant of history, and a part of America's own Destination Freedom. Today, Destination Freedom tells the story of the noted poet and playwright Langston Hughes in a chapter entitled Shakespeare of Harlem.
I've been a-waiting for that Freedom Train.
He'd been waiting a long time for Freedom Train. He was a boy with a notebook and a habit of writing about trains. He was born poor in Joplin, Missouri. He hadn't seen his father in so long, he'd forgotten his face. He waited for the train to bring his father while he grew up back of the tracks in Kansas City, Cleveland, Buffalo, Chicago, Charleston, Joplin. He waited for the great day, even when he moved with his mother from town to town, from house to house, looking for cheaper rents and a wider world. He had been waiting 18 years for the sight of his father. Then a letter came. He tore it open, and the letter spoke to him.
My dear Langston, be ready to meet me today when my train comes through Cleveland. You will accompany me to Mexico for the summer. You're going to be free from poverty and poor people. Tell your mother. Signed, your father.
I'm going to be free.
He put the letter in his notebook with his stories and sketches. He was too happy to walk. He went running down Central Avenue. He ran into a restaurant where his mother worked. He got up to the counter and he waited while she called for orders.
Your order, please.
Hamburger. Nothing on it.
Plain hamburger.
Plain hamburger. Coming up.
Ham on rye and a cup of coffee.
Ham on rye and a cup of coffee.
Ham on rye and a cup of coffee.
Mother.
I'm busy, Langston. I told you not to come down here when I'm busy. Order, sir?
Coffee and donuts.
Mother, the letter came.
Langston, I told you. What letter?
The one I got from Father. He mentions you.
Mentions me? Mighty nice of him. What does he want?
Here, you read it.
I won't touch it. What does he want?
He wants me to come with him to live on his ranch in Mexico.
Isn't that just like him? He wants to take you away from me.
Oh, no one could do that.
He couldn't, he would. He's waited until you're big enough to work and help earn a living. Until I've raised you and worked for you and put you through high school. Now he comes to help.
Is he that way?
He's worse than that. And you're like him. You've got his ways. You've been waiting every morning for the train to bring him. I'm losing you.
You're not losing me. I just want to see what it's like to have a rich father. It's been a long time since you've seen him. Maybe he's changed, Ma. Maybe you like him. Maybe we three can get together.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Mother, the train will be in now. Let me bring him here.
You keep him out of my sight. You hear me?
I gotta go, Mother. Wish you'd change your mind.
I'm still waiting for that coffee and donuts.
Oh, donuts and coffee.
Donuts and coffee.
While the waitress worked, her son went out to see if he could close the odd gap between father and mother. He held an image of his father in his head, an image of a wonderful, wealthy man who lived in a land where there was no color line, no rent falling due, just mountains and sunshine and air and freedom. He went through the train station looking for his image. No one fitted that dream. He looked until the crowd grew thin and then he gave up and walked toward home as he turned a corner.
Oh, watch where you're going, you clumsy clown. Are you blind?
I'm sorry.
The boy and the man passed each other. Then together, they looked back. The boy spoke.
Say, are you my father?
Are you Langston Hughes?
Yes, father.
Oh, then take your hands down. Don't make a public spectacle of yourself, pawing all over me.
Yes, father.
You got my letter? Are you ready to go? Have you packed your things?
Oh, I don't have anything else to pack. I'm ready.
Well, then, come on. Don't stand there.
Oh. I can't go without Mother's word. Aren't you going to talk to her?
Oh.
Don't you want to see her?
What is she doing?
She's working.
Working? Well, isn't that just like her? If she'd stayed with me, she wouldn't need to work. She wouldn't listen to me.
Will you talk to her now?
Maybe. Yes, maybe when she sees what I've become and what I'm going to make out of you, she'll come to her senses. Lead the way.
So the boy led his prodigal father into the little restaurant where his mother worked and waited for his mother to look around.
Wheat cakes and syrup, miss.
Wheat cakes and syrup.
Wheat cakes and syrup.
Mother, father's here to see you.
I see him. What's his order?
Now, Jan, I've been thinking. I've come back because I've been thinking about our son.
What's your order?
Ma, listen to him.
The boy'd be better off with me. I can give him what he can't get here. Now, if you know what's good for you, you'd come back to me, too.
Yes, Ma, maybe Dad's right. Let's all be together. What you say?
I said, what's your order?
Ham and eggs.
Eggs for a ham!
Eggs for a ham?
Langston, my train leaves in an hour. If you want freedom to grow up and make something of yourself, you'll catch it.
But what about Mother?
Decide without your mother. She dislikes the way I make my money. She's not a practical woman, else she'd leave this garbage and poverty behind. The train leaves in an hour, I say. I'll be on it. Waitress, here's a quarter tip for you.
Cook! Take this quarter out and throw it in the garbage.
One quarter for the garbage.
Mother, what do you say? Shall I go with him?
You want to go. You still want to go.
I can't get a job in Cleveland. There's no work in Cleveland for me. I'll only stay a month in Mexico and...
Get out of my sight.
I won't go that way. Give me a good word.
Give you a good word. What good are you to anybody? I thought I'd brought you up with some fight and fire in your veins. But you've got fear in them. You were going to leave your mark on the world. Now you've grown. Go out on your own. Forget the way you grew up. Forget the promises of things to do and things to look into and things to fight for.
We can get that with Father.
Then you belong with him.
I don't know where I belong.
Then find out. Go follow the devil. Catch your train.
Give me the word. Is it all right with you?
Go on.
Give me the word, Ma.
I'll give you nothing. Take your books and your pencils and your promises. Go on. Catch your train.
Hey, waitress. How about some wheat cakes and bacon?
Wheat cakes and bacon.
Wheat cakes and bacon.
The boy sat a long time at the counter waiting for the good word. The word never came. The train did, and he was there to meet it.
So, you came without the old woman's blessings. You've got sense. You're a son after my own heart. Come along, get aboard.
Why didn't Mother want to come?
She's a woman who lives by hopes and promises. Hopes of what she wants to see here in the States. I know better. In a few days, you'll see something that'll make you forget all about your life here. Get aboard.
Board! Overboard!
The boy got on board. The train rolled across the fields and plains and sang out at night on its way to Mexico. It crossed the old Mississippi, and the boy with the notebook looked down at the muddy river flowing towards the heart of the South and wrote down what he felt of rivers to show to his father. And the long ride seemed to settle questions inside him, questions of who he was and where he wanted to go. And when the train crossed the border, a part of the boy was left behind in Cleveland, in Kansas, in rented rooms, in the streets. His father wanted that part.
You're starting a new life, Langston. It's time to stop daydreaming.
Have I been daydreaming?
Since the day you got off the train. All you've done is wander about the villages with a notebook in your hands, then up and down the streets with the Indians and the peons. You are the son of the wealthiest rancher in the region. You're not a Negro in the United States anymore. You'll keep away from the peons.
But I like them, Father. They were teaching me Spanish.
I'll do the teaching hereafter. Today, boy, we'll get down to business. We'll ride over the ranch, and I'll show you what your future will be. We'll start now.
Father.
Oh, yes, Langston?
Well, I wrote something I'd like for you to read. I want to talk to you about it.
What is it?
Well, it's little...
Well, what are you stammering for? If you've got nothing to say, close your mouth.
Yes, Father.
When there's something on your mind, say it. When there's nothing, be quiet. Now go saddle the horses. When you see what I've planned for you, you'll have something to talk about.
The boy put away his notebook and pencil. He saddled the horses. He was quiet while they rode up along the mountain passes until his father pulled up.
Oh, now, boy. We can see almost everything. There it is.
Is all of this yours?
Ah, there's more on the other side, the copper mines. Well, what do you think of it?
I've never seen anything so beautiful.
It brings in $1,000 a week. That's the beauty of it. Now do you see why I wanted you out of the United States? Your mother could have all this, and she left me to raise you to be a fighter, she says.
Is that why she left you?
Partly. You're 18, and we can talk man to man now. You know, I think it's best you study engineering in Switzerland for a few years. Then we'll exploit the mines here. Or maybe you'd do better running the ranch.
Father.
Yes?
I'm not going to be an engineer.
Oh? Well, perhaps not. I thought you had a liking for calculations, the way you carry that notebook around all day. I'm an easy man, Langston. As long as you pick a profession that'll make money, you'll find me a good father.
But what I'm going to do, I don't think it'll make money.
Well, what will it do?
Well, it'll make people see things better and feel things more.
What on earth is that?
Poetry.
Poetry?
That's what I intend to write, Father.
Now, look, Langston. Don't play when I'm serious. I've thought this thing out. Now, look, when we get to Switzerland...
I'm not going to Switzerland. All I wanted to tell you, I'm going back to the United States. I'm going home.
What home?
My home.
Oh, you're out of your head. What have you got at home? What's there for a Negro in the States but Jim Crow and white-only jobs?
I'm going back.
For what? What have you and your mother got in your heads? I'm trying to save you the way I saved myself. I got away from the segregation of the slums, and I've won a fortune. You can do the same. What's gotten into you?
Nothing. Except I'm lonely here.
Well, there are other wealthy ranchers with sons. You can associate with them.
I don't want to be with them. I'm going where my roots are.
Roots?
When I crossed the Mississippi, I got the feeling then of who I was and where I was going. I wrote it down. Will you read it?
You've got your mother in you.
I've got the river in me. When I crossed it, the words came to me that I have known rivers. I have known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were new. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans. And I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I have known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
The boy with the notebook got ready to get on the train, and the prodigal father cursed him.
Let this be the last time you call me father. I want no part of poets or fools. Mark my words, you'll go hungry and jobless at home. Oh, you'll be happy for a while. But there'll be streets you can't live on, jobs you can't get, restaurants you can't eat in, and hotels you can't sleep in. You'll never find a father who can give you the freedom I've given you. Take your notebooks and your poems, and may the devil keep you.
The boy with the notebook took the curse and the train and went back over the bosom of the Mississippi. He crossed it and went to New York and rode the subway to Harlem and got off hungry for friends and stood wide-eyed in the sunshine while his people, black, brown, beige, white, walked by. He wanted to shake hands, to speak, to laugh, to talk.
Hey, hello. My name is Langston. What's yours?
Well, of all the fresh things, did you see see that, Joe? Hey, honey, why don't you do something?
Hey, I just want to meet somebody. My name is...
Well, don't be showing me your teeth, Jack. I ain't no dentist. Go to the clinic. Oh, come on, baby.
I just want to talk to somebody. Oh, hello.
Well, what do you know, country? What's on your mind?
You looking for a place to stay, country?
Yeah.
You stay with me. I run on the railroad. Out 4 days, in three. I got plenty of room.
Thanks. Yeah,
hey, you ain't a bad guy, country. Ain't bad at all.
He's a little square, but I'll put his boots on.
Actually, honey. Say, you all right, Jack? You come stay with me, huh?
Sure.
Hey, what's your name, fella?
Hughes. Langston Hughes.
Yeah, but I'm going to call him Shakespeare on account of he's always scribbling something. Shakespeare, meet Smitty.
Yeah, give me some skin, Shakespeare. Howdy, boy. Oh, what you writing about? Yeah, have a drink. Drown yourself, Jack. Drown yourself.
Hey, guys. Here's Shakespeare.
And they took him in, and he drowned himself in the people. He got lost in the sea of people. He took up his beat on the Harlem streets. His notebook was a fishing net, and it caught songs he heard.
Did you ever try living on 2 bits minus two? Did you ever try living on 2 bits minus two? Why don't you try it, folks? See what it would do to you.
He picked up a suicide note that said,
"The calm, cool face of the river asked me for a kiss."
And he wrote down an epitaph for a dead man.
"Tell all my mourners to mourn in red, 'cause there ain't no sense in my being dead."
And he saw good times roll and bad times crash about him. He came to the times his father had predicted. He came to the times when he was hungry, jobless, and when he wrote about the weather.
"This is earthquake weather. Honor and hunger walk lean together."
He looked for jobs to keep alive, and the words of the prodigal father came true. He found the restaurants he couldn't eat in, streets he couldn't live on, the hotels he couldn't sleep in. But one day he went to a jobber's office in Washington, D.C. to answer an ad he saw in the papers.
Excuse me, sir. Mister, I saw your ad in the paper. It said you wanted a hotel clerk.
You know where I can find one?
Well, in college I took quite a bit of bookkeeping, sir. I thought maybe I could fill the job.
You got good sense?
Well, I suppose.
Well, that ad said white clerk, didn't it? Said plain as day, white clerk.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, I guess they won't hire me then. I'll shove off.
Oh, say.
Yeah?
You know, come to think of it, that hotel can use you.
Are you sure?
Why, sure. They need a busboy to handle the dishes. You go on over.
Thanks.
Oh, don't mention it. Just tell Smitty there. He's the head waiter. Tell him I sent you. You'll be stacking dishes in no time. Just tell him I sent you.
The jobber sent me over.
Oh, man, you got an easy job, sonny. No responsibilities to worry about whatsoever. It's 7 days a week, 9 hours a day, and at $15 per, the pay ain't bad. Now, you start collecting dishes as soon as supper's over, and whatever you be, don't be slow.
He put aside the notebook while the plates piled high. He got to know the waiters, the cooks, the maids. But the net of his notebook caught less as the days wore on, and all the words of his father came before him. One day was like another, until he stopped in the lobby of the hotel to peer at a poster. He stood looking for a long time until the head waiter came.
"Langston, dinner's almost over. The tables need clearing. Now get ready for work. What you standing daydreaming about now?"
"I was looking at this poster. He's speaking here tonight."
"Who's he?"
"Vachel Lindsay."
"Oh, you know him? A friend of yours, maybe?"
"No, he writes poetry. I recognize his picture on the poster here. You know, if I didn't work tonight, I could hear him."
"Not in this hotel. He's speaking before the governor's conference, can't you read? It's in the auditorium. They don't allow colored in the auditorium."
"I'd sure like to hear him."
"You're the oddest busboy I ever heard tell of. Oh, you'll see him all right, even before the conference, right in the dining room. All you got to do is clean off his table. Look him dead in the eye.
Now, come on. You got a date with the dishes.
He kept his date with the dishes, and slowly an idea came to him that between poets there was a bond that cut across color lines and job lines. He worked over the tables, and when he came to one marked Rachel Lindsay, he took up the menu and carried it to the kitchen. He took out his pencil and wrote down the lines of a poem. He wrote down the lines of a poem that went,
"Democracy will not come today, this year, nor ever, through compromise and fear. I have as much right as the other fella has to stand on my 2 feet and own the land. I tire so of hearing people say, let things take their course. Tomorrow is another day. I do not need my freedom when I am dead. I cannot live on tomorrow's bread. Freedom is a strong seed planted in a great need. Listen, America, I live here too, and I want freedom just as you."
Then he signed his name and put the menu back on the table of Rachel Lindsay. He went home and slept like a rock, like he had thrown his last stone. Then he came back the next morning to the same job, the same hotel. But there was something that had changed the busboy's world. There were men around the doors. The head waiter was the first to see him.
"There he is, boys. There's the man you guys want.
Say, is that Langston Hughes?
Is that guy a poet?
He don't look like no poet to me. He don't look like nothing but a busboy.
If bad busboys make great poets, Shakespeare."
Hey, are you Langston Hughes?
Yes, yeah. Who are you?
Well, I'm from the Journal, Mr. Hughes. Mind posing for a picture?
Yeah, you mind stepping back so I can get your feet in there. That's it. Thank you.
Hey, Smitty, what's the matter? What's going on, Smitty? What did I do?
You did plenty. Ain't you read the papers?
Oh, I haven't had time.
Look here. Your name's in them all. Right up top. Big story says Rachel Lindsay read your poem to the governor. See? Rachel Lindsay discovers busboy poet.
Now, Mr. Hughes, tell me in your own words, does stacking dishes inspire you to write poetry or vice versa?
The Journal's running your exclusive story, Mr. Hughes. Did your father like poetry or was it your mother?
Hey,
wait a minute, fellas. Hey, where are you taking him? Hey, wait a minute.
That's enough, boys. That's enough. Give him air. He's still got a lot of dishes to stack, and I don't want him too weak to work. That's enough, boys. That's enough.
There now. I'll give you time to breathe.
Yeah. Thanks for pulling me in here, Smitty.
Sure, sure. To think all this time I've been pushing a poet around. Oh, he was looking for you.
He?
Yeah, this Lindsay guy came back and left a letter for you.
What's it say?
It's yours. You read it.
Yeah.
He opened the letter, his hand shaking. He opened it and the letter spoke.
"Dear Langston, do you mind if I call you my son? Most young poets call me father, and I want you in my family. You said it right. Earthquake weather has come down on the world. Most men are not free. Honor and hunger do go together. I want all my sons to wake up the world. We poets, even when not born of the common people, must speak for the common people. Speak loud, son. Speak the truth and scare hell out of the devil. And when you see freedom coming, catch it like you catch a train, and let no passengers be Jim Crowed. Affectionately, your father, Rachel Lindsay."
There was a new joy in the heart of the boy with the notebook. And he carried it with him now wherever he went, and he slipped into it whatever he wrote. He wrote of many things, of blues, of women, of people and places. He was read in every country where books were printed. He went back to his habit of writing about trains. When he heard about the Freedom Train, he wrote of it.
"I read in the papers about the Freedom Train. I heard on the radio about the Freedom Train. I seen folks talking about the Freedom Train. Lord, I've been a-waiting for that Freedom Train. Down south in Dixie, only train I see's got a Jim Crow car set aside for me.
I hope there ain't no Jim Crow cars on the Freedom Train. No backdoor entrance to the Freedom Train. No white folks only on the Freedom Train. I'm gonna check up on this Freedom Train. Who's the engineer on the Freedom Train? Can a cold black man drive the Freedom Train? Is there ballot boxes on the Freedom Train? Do colored folks vote on the Freedom Train? Somebody, tell me about this Freedom Train. If my children ask me, Daddy, please explain why there's Jim Crow cars on the Freedom Train. What shall I tell my children? You tell me, 'cause freedom ain't freedom if a man ain't free. But maybe they explains it on the Freedom Train. When that train goes steaming through South Carolina, will them Greenville lynchers pay any mind? Or that 12-man jury that let them loose turn their heads and spit tobacco juice? When my old grandmother in Atlanta, 83 in black, gets in line to see the Freedom Train, will some white man yell, Get back! Negro's got no business on the Freedom Train! But, mister, I thought it were the Freedom Train. Her grandson's name was Jimmy. He died in Anzio. He died for real. It weren't no show. This freedom that they're carrying on this Freedom Train, is it for real? Or just a show again? Jimmy wants to know about this Freedom Train. Will his Freedom Train come zooming down the track, gleaming in the sunlight for white and black? No stopping at no stations marked colored white. Just stopping in the country, in the wide open air, where there never was no Jim Crow signs nowhere. No welcoming committees, nor politicians of note. No mayors and such for which colored can't vote. And nary a sign of a color line. For the Freedom Train will be yours and mine. Then, maybe from their graves in Anzio, the GIs who fought will say, we wanted it so. Black men and white will say, ain't it fine? At home they've got a train that's yours and mine. Then I'll shout glory for the Freedom Train. I'll holler, blow your whistle, Freedom Train. Thank God Almighty, here's the Freedom Train. We'll all get aboard our Freedom Train.
The boy with the notebook wrote down his poem and caught the train. And so Shakespeare went back to his beat in Harlem.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Shakespeare of Harlem, the story of Langston Hughes. Destination Freedom is brought to you by the Chicago Defender newspaper and station WMAQ. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The poems heard in today's story were Freedom Train, Suicide Note, Wake, and Democracy, used by special permission of Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes was played by Fred Pinkard. Others in the cast were Janice Kingslow, Louise Pruitt, Oscar Brown, Charles Mountain, Sherman Marks, and Les Spears. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week for another in our series on the Negro in Democracy. Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.